We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live!
Please remain silent while I am speaking. We have a lot to get through.
Put that cigarette out.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh, my God. He's coming at you! He's gonna puke!
He's fat!
You three guys want a war tonight? You got one!
To be the man, you gotta beat the man! And I'm saying, woo, right here!
Good evening, everybody. It is Monday, January 13th, and we just finished watching Monday Night Raw. And it is time for the Monday Night Raw post-show here on Mega Powers Radio. Really interesting show we had tonight. I really didn't think we were going to have Jack after having two theme Raws in a row. We're having Batista coming up next week. But holy crap, we got a lot to talk about tonight, so let's start digging into it. I'll be your host for this evening, Mike Payton. Joining me this evening, I actually have a really cool cast with us tonight. First off, one of the usual fellas we have here, lead host of Smark Out Moment Smack Talk Podcast, Mr. Tony Mango. What's shaking, Tony?
You know, it's me. It's that M-A-N-G-O. Doesn't really work, does it?
You are not
Road Dogg.
Much
better.
Yeah, pretty much. Also with us from the Unanimous Decision MMA show over on Dream Elite Radio and Addicted to Anime here on Mega Powers, Mr. Steven Huego.
I think you got a bit of phlegm on me just from that intro. Good to be here, man. Awesome night of Raw. A lot of things going well for me recently, so tonight was awesome, too.
Fan-frickin-tastic. And Mr. Sean Walker. What's shaking, Sean?
After the New Orleans Saints losing, this Raw picked me right up.
Were you upset about the Chiefs losing?
The New Orleans Saints, yeah. I was good.
Or the Chiefs, Saints. Shows how much I know about sports. Well, let's introduce someone who does know something about sports. Returning to the post show after quite a long missing period, Mr. Chris Jester. What's shaking, Chris?
Hey, it's great to be back, guys. How's everybody doing?
I think we're all tremendous. I think we're all excited to talk about tonight's show. There's lots of cool stuff going on. So let's go ahead and start digging into it. Why don't we? We just want to remind everyone that we are live on Mega Powers Radio. We got the chat room going where you can be talking in there. We also got a phone line. We already got a couple callers in there. Going to ask you guys just be patient for a little bit. We're going to be opening up the phone lines around 11:30 for calls. If you want to call back later, that's cool. If you want to sit there and keep listening to us, your prerogative. But we're going to start rolling here. We got God, shit ton of things to talk about. I don't even know where to start. So let's just go from the end. We had two matches this evening of Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt going against the Usos. First one at the very start of the show, which I thought was quite odd indeed after they were spending the whole week building this match up of Bray Wyatt and Daniel Bryan teaming together. And it started the show, which already just set off bells in my head, like something's going on here. We're going to see Daniel Bryan wrestling again. And of course, we would. At the end of the night, we would have Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt go against the Usos in a steel cage. However, in both matches, the result was the same. The Usos being the victors. First off, Daniel Bryan just gets a little pissed off, but hey, he's still a member of the family, so he lets Bray Wyatt do the Sister Abigail, kiss him on the forehead, that whole spiel. Second match, though, Daniel Bryan's had enough. The fans chant yes, he builds up his energy, and he's had enough. This time when Bray Wyatt goes for Sister Abigail, Daniel Bryan pulls himself out, gives one resounding no, and then just starts attacking Bray Wyatt, doing the running back and forth between the ropes, doing the drop kicks, and then slowly takes off his wedgie suit. I don't even know what to call that thing anymore. What's the official name for that?
It's a jumpsuit, I think.
A jumpsuit? Would it be a jumpsuit?
An atrocity.
looks like a car mechanic outfit.
Right. Yeah, a janitor outfit. I'm sure there's an overalls. No, an overall. Whatever the heck it's called. Semantics. Anyway, Daniel Bryan out of the Wyatt family. That was short-lived. Guess it kind of went nowhere. I mean, I guess we're still going to have a match, but I had higher hopes for this. I got to say, I'm a little disappointed. I thought that they could drag this out at least until Elimination Chamber, but they just didn't feel it, I guess. You know, they kept it for what? Was it 3 weeks? They didn't win a single match, and now it's done. Tony, where's this going from here?
I'm going to spoil something ahead of time. This is my high point.
Whoa.
For the whole night. I thought that I didn't have a high point up until this point. I was kind of struggling and going like, oh, maybe I'll give it to this little thing. It doesn't really matter that much or whatever. But the end of this with Daniel Bryan doing what I guess you could kind of call like the yes equivalent of it, like a slow clap, was freaking awesome. I mean, You don't see that kind of a response normally. And even though this is a little bit quick from, you know, that whole like 3 week span that you were talking about, and they could have, you know, put this at the Royal Rumble, or they could have put it at Elimination Chamber, or I was thinking that they might even horribly drag it out to WrestleMania. I think that maybe it's a better opportunity to just do it now, because if they weren't going to drag it out that long, Elimination Chamber is not a time to do that much of a turn. And Royal Rumble, it's going to get overshadowed by everything else. So really, even next week, it could have been overshadowed by Batista. So I guess now's the perfect time to do it. I liked it. I mean, I'm all for it. And if this means that this opens up Daniel Bryan to possibly winning that WWE title at WrestleMania, all the better.
So while we dial it back to Mr. Jester, we haven't gotten much of your opinions over the developments of Daniel Bryan since last summer. How have you been following it? How have you been? I know you haven't been watching it that much completely. Are you invested into his character? How do you feel about him being a part of the Wyatt family? I know you were a huge Wyatt family supporter on their initial coming in.
I'm really disappointed that they didn't do more with this. I agree with Tony. The moment when he turned on them was good. It was big. I didn't think he was going to let him sacrifice him a second time. I think the crowd was behind it. What I think this was them saying, we tried to turn him kind of heel. The crowd didn't give up on him. They love him anyway. And we're just going to make this a short thing. They could have probably dragged it to WrestleMania, I think. I think we could have had a Bray Wyatt, Daniel Bryan match at WrestleMania. I don't think Bryan's in the championship plans, so
no.
I don't see what else he's going to do. Like, I'm pretty lost on where Daniel Bryan's going from here, but obviously he's still someone that's really popular and the crowd's still really behind. So I definitely think that the Wyatt family are so interesting. And Bryan just fits. He just looks like he fits in with them. I really think they could have dragged it on a little longer. But Tony's right. This might have been the best night to do it if they weren't going to drag it out long term. So
now, do you think we could call this the Daniel Bryan Griffin situation? He kind of like did this big thing and then just kind of rescinded on it 2 weeks later.
Right. Yeah. Maybe he'll rejoin them in 2 weeks.
Del Rio's going to hit him with his car.
Yeah.
Sean, these fans, as Chester said, never gave up on Daniel Bryan. There was a lot of worries going into this that Daniel Bryan was going to lose this love that he has from the crowd. Obviously, it has not gone down one bit. If you saw that wide shot they had at the end of the evening of the entire arena simultaneously chanting yes with Daniel Bryan conducting, that was just an awe-inspiring shot. So, Sean, does Daniel Bryan capitalized on still having this momentum behind him, or as Jester said, is he just going to be kind of floating around going through WrestleMania season?
Yes, 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 and more yes. What it is, WWE creative got it wrong. They fucked up turning back to being Daniel Bryan instead of Daniel Wyatt or whatever the fuck. But yeah, I think he's going to be in the main event picture come Elimination Chamber. I think he's going to win. He's not going to win the Royal Rumble. He's going to win the Elimination Chamber. It's going to be CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan in WrestleMania. Quote me on it.
Oh. They did give a lot of teasing of CM Punk being in the Rumble tonight, making a big deal about it. Everyone else are just kind of like, oh, yeah, this guy's in the Rumble, and this guy's in the Rumble, and this guy's in the Rumble. But CM Punk, we're going to give him a whole segment with Kane.
Mm-hmm.
So they did highlight that a little bit. Steven, how about you? Where do you see Daniel Bryan's future going?
Definitely winning the Royal Rumble. I think he's the only one that should win the Royal Rumble. It was really interesting tonight how they just decided to turn him on this Raw of all choices. I thought it'd come at a pay-per-view or something. Either it's a display of lack of commitment to an angle,
mm-hmm.
That or they feel the angle wasn't hot and they decided to cancel it. And if they did decide all this time that they wanted to turn him tonight, they just got fucking lucky that they had the crowd that they did.
Well, I gotta say, the crowd for the most part was pretty quiet tonight, but man, they came unglued with Daniel Bryan going back to the Daniel Bryan of old.
That I'd say Daniel Bryan, they went for, well, they definitely went over for. I'd say the only other people that they really popped for tonight was the New Age Outlaws.
Yeah, that's about appropriate. I didn't hear that kind of reaction for, man, Cody. Cody's fallen down a lot. Poor Cody. Mysterio, I guess, got an okay reaction. Actually, the Big Show, I think, got a pretty good pop tonight.
Yeah,
of all people.
To be fair, Big Show was over for a while during that whole time when he was stealing Daniel Bryan's chant, so mm-hmm. I suppose he's carried some of that momentum with him, but tonight was definitely the Daniel Bryan show. I think you go with him to win the Rumble. and you have CM Punk go ahead and win Elimination Chamber and let them two duke it out at Mania. The only other match I want to see for Daniel Bryan besides Punk at Mania is against Cena.
Oh, man, what if? What if we end up with Daniel Bryan and CM Punk as numbers 1 and 2 in the Rumble, and they go all the way?
That'd be cool.
I'd fucking mark out. I was marking out tonight, but I think I might mark out a little more even for that.
But what about the Triple H thing? Triple H has to have a match at WrestleMania, so he has to fight either Punk, Cena, or Bryan. They can't have Batista come back and have him against Triple H.
He has to take a pop three.
What about Orton? He could fight Orton.
I would hate that so much, awesome. Especially for the title.
I definitely think it's going to be Triple H and Punk, but I really want it to be Triple H and Bryan. I think for Bryan to get over the whole not winning the belt fairly thing, he has to beat Triple H at WrestleMania. It can't be anybody else. It has to be Triple H.
Are you guys saying you don't want to see Triple H and Brock 4?
Oh, yeah. God.
Brock Lesnar, unfortunately, was not on the show tonight, but his upcoming opponent, Big Show, got a nice little squash match with Jack Swagger, and that's about all we need to say about that. Some other noteworthy things we did have tonight, though. We got our first inductee announced going into the WWE 2014 Hall of Fame class, and that is the Ultimate Warrior.
I thought it was going to be Narcolepsy Man for a second.
He had some good matches, Narcolepsy Man.
Sure did.
That one, it was a total sleeper of a match.
Ah, I see what you did.
It's finishing
there.
Hold, sleeper hold. Come on. Okay, I can go all night.
Enough of this. Enough. Ultimate Warrior, it's official, will be our first one going in. We had a long debate about this in our little private chat. We were talking over whether this guy is going to be the headliner, whether he's going to have someone above him. Why don't we just go around and talk to the rest of you guys about it? Chris, why don't you start us off? How do you feel about the whole Ultimate Warrior going in, and where do you think his place will be in as far as the structure of the class?
This is huge. This is obviously he's the headliner. I honestly never thought the Ultimate Warrior would make the Hall of Fame. There seemed to be too much bad blood there, and I'm legitimately surprised. And I think this is a good omen for anyone. You know, Vince is willing to do business. If you can clean up your drama with him, you know, a lot of people have a chance at making the Hall that we may not have thought could. Now, obviously, certain people who have drama with him, you know, can't do anything about that now. Randy Savage. But I think this is a big deal, and Warrior's definitely the headliner, for sure.
You bring up a very good point about how much they have buried the hatchet with so many people, and I think over the last like 4 or 5 years where we've really seen that come into play with people like Bret Hart, Jake the Snake coming back in, and now Ultimate Warrior, they've built up the relationships back very well. I guess the only person left would be like Angle. Actually, I think things are probably okay with them in Angle.
I think that's just a case of Vince finally easing up in his older age, that or Triple H having more influence on some of those decisions.
Both of those things are very possible, honestly. Mm-hmm. Probably a combination of the two. I think if Kurt Angle wanted to come back, I think the door is open for him.
With a lack of main event stars? Hell yeah, the door's open for him. They'd take him back with open arms.
Jester, I cut you off, though. Is there something else you wanted to say?
I think you can say what you want about Warrior's in-ring ability or anything, but for his time, he was one of the three biggest names there. So I think he's definitely a headliner. For that, early Hulk Hogan era, Warrior is one of the three biggest. It's Hogan, Savage, and Warrior.
Well, let's look at it. Post the 4-year Hogan title run, how many people really pinned Hogan clean like immediately after that? It was like Taker, Andre, and Warrior are the only ones I can think of. Did Savage even pin him at any point?
I don't think so, no.
I don't think Savage ever beat Hogan clean.
I don't think Taker was clean either. Wasn't that the whole Flair put the chair
out? Flair put the chair, you're right. Okay, so scratch Taker off. So Andre and Warrior, that's all you got.
Mm-hmm. And wow. Even those were kind of shady clean, but they were clean.
Oh, yeah, he did that whole, like, I kicked out at the number 3 thing.
Right.
They were Triple H or John Cena clean.
Yeah, there you go.
Steven, I think you were the one who was a little bit more down on the Ultimate Warrior.
No, I was defending him. I think he's one of the best choices you can pick. It was Tony that didn't agree with him headlining it. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think he definitely should headline it. He's one of the few people left from back when wrestling was still a hot thing. And he's one of the biggest names. Mm-hmm. I'm all for it. I mean, who else do you put there? Macho Man's dead, so as much as he deserves the headline spot, you can't have him have the closing speech. And let's face it, you all are kind of interested in seeing if he does it in character and goes berserk on the main headline speech. I'm up for it.
Of course he will.
If he does it in character, it's going to be fucking epic.
I don't even think
he's going to do it in character. I think he's just going to lose his shit. He's just going to go nuts.
I think he just always is in character. I mean, when he got his name legally changed to Warrior, he just became Warrior all the time.
Yeah, if he just comes on and starts fucking shaking the podium and shit.
But how disappointing would it be if he comes out and he's like, "Hello, everybody. I'm so happy to receive this award. I can't thank you enough. I don't really know what to say. I'm rendered
quite speechless. Have a wonderful night. Please tip your waitresses and drive safe."
He's the biggest work artist ever if he does that. He's been working us for 20 years.
Corporate warrior.
Corporate warrior. He did have the short haircut in that recent WWE 2K14 commercial.
He
was in an office building. He should just be corporate warrior, but he should just still be fucking nuts. So like they're trying to have like a serious boardroom meeting and he's just in a throwing papers all over the place.
Who's that guy? Oh, that's just Warrior. That's what he does.
He makes Kane look a lot better.
So yeah. Tony, you were playing devil's advocate and saying that you don't think Warrior should headline. Who the hell can over Warrior at this point? I mean, they've already put in all the other big names without digging into something more recent. Like I think the names I said were Undertaker or Rock. Who would you possibly put ahead of Warrior?
That's the main problem. It's really tough to think of somebody who's a big star. And I can't really think of any off the top of my head other than my main idea of Vince McMahon. I know people are against it and they think that he shouldn't be there until he ends up, retiring or, something ends up going haywire and it's like we kind of have to put him in there. He dies or something. But I still think WrestleMania 30, that's not an Ultimate Warrior type of thing. And the other names that I had made up before, we did an old thing on Smack Talk of WrestleMania Hall of Fame inductions that need to happen and stuff. And so many of them can't match up with Ultimate Warrior. I mean, we had Jake the Snake, we had Scott Hall and X-Pac and Diesel and Psycho Sid and even Takemichi Noku and shit. But none of them really are as high up as Ultimate Warrior. But at the same time, to me, really, Ultimate Warrior is the top guy for WrestleMania 30. I'd be perfectly fine with it if it was WrestleMania 31 or 29 or whatever. It just seems awkward to me. He doesn't seem like he's that important.
But again, who else do you put in there? I mean, this is kind of like the thing where they – a problem where they put too many people in the same year. Like, what was it? I think it was 2006 where they did like Hogan and Sheik and Piper. They did like everybody they possibly could in one year.
Yeah, that's the problem. They should have made – somebody like a Bret Hart should have been a headliner of one year, or Hogan won a headliner of one year, so on and so forth.
The only guys that are on the roster is like an Undertaker or something.
Yeah, Undertaker probably would be my second choice if they weren't going to go with Vince McMahon.
Well,
and that's kind of a, an iffy thing because he's still kind of wrestling and everything. So
exactly. Well, the only thing I think would make the Undertaker fitting is if they put him in with Paul Bearer.
Yeah, maybe.
That's the only way I think they can make it, like, okay, is if they do it like, we're going to do this pair and we're going to bring them both in.
That would make sense.
You can also give them separate inductions, just do it on the same night.
And I actually have to credit the Solid Monster for this. He always laid this info down to me, taught me some knowledge. Paul Bearer apparently was a huge, huge Mardi Gras fan. So to be inducted in New Orleans would be very apropos for Paul Bearer.
Honestly, I think he should have been inducted when he died, going into that triple, going into that...
It was too soon.
I did it with Eddie.
I have one idea,
Eddie was
though.
Like 4 months after. That was like 3 weeks.
That's fine.
I have one idea, though, about this whole idea that you can't induct Savage because he's dead and he can't be the headliner. I still say why not?
Well,
why not just
who's
going to
accept
your...
it for him?
I don't know. Maybe Vince McMahon. You kind of do something.
How about Stephanie then? Huh?
Oh, damn it, you're doing this, son of a bitch.
She already got something else from him. But why not do something where we don't need an actual headliner this year? You just do like a huge retrospective and you just say, like, this is WrestleMania 30. We're going to look back on these, immense characters from all the other years. We're going to induct all these other people. Ultimate Warrior can be like the secondary titular kind of guy.
So what you're saying is WrestleMania should be put in the Hall of Fame.
Kind of. But you could do like that kind of an idea with Randy Savage and just kind of go like, look, Savage is one of those people who represents the whole point of WrestleMania. He's got the pageantry to him. He was a former champion. He headlined. so on and so forth. We'd like to induct Randy Savage under the spirit of WrestleMania, kind of a thing. That would be a good BS way to get around it, I think.
Last man we want to check in with here until we start opening up the phone lines. Mr. Sean Walker, how do you feel about Ultimate Warrior's announcement of being the first inductee into the 2014 Hall of Fame class?
I don't particularly care for the Hall of Fame. So I was just writing, just skip me altogether because I have nothing to say on this matter. I think it's just a publicity stunt. It's just a whole BS.
Well, of course it is. It's not a legitimate Hall of Fame. We all know this.
I mean, you know, why not put Eric Bischoff in there?
Why
Eric
not?
Bischoff? Yeah, I'm okay with Eric Bischoff going, especially now that he's cut ties with TNA. Why not?
Headliner.
Not as a headliner, but I could see Eric Bischoff in the Hall of Fame one day.
Yeah, how about Bubba the Love Sponge? Bubba the
Love Sponge. Glacier is going to be headliner.
I think eventually there will be a point where he has to put in other promoters like Bischoff and Heyman. Didn't they put in, what's his face, Bill Watts or someone like that?
I'm not sure, but you could put Jim Cornette in just based on his WWF contributions, plus everything else he's done. He made a lot of talent in OVW, so he definitely deserves it. I want to see Jim Johnston in there, too.
I want to see William Regal.
Steven, I am furious with you. I forgot about Bubba the Love Sponge. I erased him from my memory.
Oh, my goodness.
I am all right. Furious.
Let's open up the phone lines here, guys, just to invite everyone on here. If you want to call in, area code 760-512-7247 is the number. That's area code 760-512-7247 to call in using your telephone or cell phone or landline or payphone, whatever you happen to be nearby. And you can also dial in pressing the little Skype icon on our broadcast page and get in touch with us. We also have the chat room running. Don't worry, guys. I see your questions coming in, too. We'll be sure to get to them. First, we're going to start bringing on a couple of our callers. First off, patiently waiting on the line. Thank you very much. Caller from 412, one of our favorites, Mr. JD from Pittsburgh. What's shaking, JD?
Hey, guys. How's it going on this fine Monday night?
We're all feeling tremendous, man. I'm actually tired. Sounds like you're a little bit tired, too.
Yeah, I am a little bit, but I'm up to talking to you guys. So to answer your first question, though, yes, Cowboy Bill Watts is in the Hall of Fame. He did go in a few years ago, so I'll get that out of the way right away.
Thank you.
As far as tonight's show, you're welcome. As far as the show goes in Providence tonight, it wasn't a bad show. I mean, there were some good things about the show, and there were some bad things about the show. I mean, obviously you got the Outlaws going to be going against CM Punk, and they're trying to set up some between CM Punk and Triple H, obviously for WrestleMania, of course, and I will be there in New Orleans to see the whole show at the time, however. I keep hearing that Hulk Hogan apparently is going to be involved in WrestleMania along with Roddy Piper. I don't know what they're thinking about bringing those two guys back. I mean, Hogan is just so beat up anymore. I mean, it just does not make sense for Hogan to come back anymore. I mean, he's had a nice run, but his time has passed 15, 20 years ago. I mean, it's time for him to just realize, you know what, don't come back. I mean, if you want to come back, maybe just maybe be a manager or possibly like maybe help out with some of the young talent, like a trainer or something like that. If you can do it, fine, so be it. But in the ring, sorry, your time is past and your ego continues to get the best of you. As far as the Daniel Bryan thing goes tonight, I mean, yes, it was nice to see Daniel Bryan back as a face. But again, I mean, they did it too soon, too quickly. And where they go from here, I have no idea. Obviously, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, no Brock Lesnar tonight. Of course, we'll have to see what happens next week if Brock shows up, or they're going to save him till the Rumble. You know, I mean, they signed him apparently to a 2-year contract, and they haven't said what shows and what talents he's going to be appearing in. I thought he would have been there tonight, but they're talking about Paul Heyman. How they are talking about doing a Paul Heyman DVD. I don't know if you guys heard about that or not, but they are talking about that. But I'll tell you my list for this year's Hall of Fame. How I can see Paul Bearer going in, but there is talk about a tag team going. Now, I've heard rumblings between DX and the Fabulous Freebirds. I'm thinking you put the Fabulous Freebirds in this year, and another guy you should maybe consider for the Hall of Fame this year, why not Steve Dr. Death Williams? You know, it's a possibility.
Who'd you say? Dr. Death?
Yes. He was in Mid-South, though, if you remember.
He was a very big guy there. If you were looking at purely WWE contributions, I mean, that was a massive failure. But if they were going to include the other library, yeah, I think that could be a definite can. I mean, that's the guy who was responsible for making Steve Austin become Steve Austin. That's how important he was.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, For my highlights and lowlights of the night, however, I got to say, the highlights tonight for me, it was nice to see Daniel Bryan back as a face, but again, the question is, how long is it going to last? The lowlights, however, the Big Show and Zeb Coulter was kind of cheesy and hokey. The Divas thing involving now Naomi and AJ, they just harp on that. And of course, you had Cryback with Curtis Axel. It just amazes me that Ryback is still even with the company after what he said last week to Logan Garcia. But like I said, with Batista coming back next week, it's going to be really interesting because, the question is, where do they go with Batista? And when I say that, where do you put him on at the show? Do you start out the show right out of the gate with a big bang with Batista? Do you save it until the second or third hour? If you're Vince McMahon of the booking team, what do you do?
Oh, I would say the 10 o'clock hour.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think that's the best place to do it.
I would say the third hour is a good idea. So, again, I'll be at the Rumble in a couple weeks. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh.
And then, of course, I'm looking for my trip. I already got my tickets as a late Christmas gift or an early Christmas gift, I should say. And like I said, there's so many questions right now in the booking style of WWE. Last week it was good, however. But did you notice tonight they did not follow up? They did talk a little bit about the whole Jake the Snake thing, however, mind you. But they didn't even bother showing footage of it. Was it maybe just because they didn't feel like showing it? Or maybe because they just realized, hey, Jake's probably like some of these guys coming in at the Rumble, however, like RVD and stuff like that. I really don't know.
I think they didn't show it again because Dean Ambrose was smiling the whole time. And that wasn't good.
Yeah.
But they did show a tweet by Jake talking about the WWE Network. So they did somewhat mention him, I guess. But you're absolutely right. They put it at the end of the show. They're talking about it like, oh, I just saw a ghost making this big, huge deal. And then barely any mention of it this week. They were too busy shilling WWE Network. Which, hey,
Batista's return, too.
Yes, they aired three or four Batista promos. Yeah, I think that's all the company's about right now. The WWE Network and the Batista return. So, JD, let me ask you one last thing here. Early prediction. Well, I guess it's not early anymore, but who do you think is going to happen with the winner for the Royal Rumble since you're going?
It's going to be interesting. I'll tell you what, though. Like you guys said at the top of the show, what if Batista and Punk draw Daniel Bryan and CM Punk draw 1 and 2? That would be crazy. Right now, I think I'm going to go on the final four. I'm going to say you're going to have Batista. If Punk can go a whole hour along with Daniel Bryan, I'm going to put them two in. And I'm going to throw a wild card in this one. I'm going to say Rob Van Dam.
Whoa.
Rob Van Dam, I think Rob Van Dam has a very good chance. If management wants to get back on management's good side like he did early last summer, he could go 30, 35, 40 minutes possibly. So I'm going to throw those four as my last four. But I think right now, I think they're set up for Batista possibly versus Orton, or maybe Batista and Lesnar in New Orleans.
I like your style, only I think I would sub RVD with Roman Reigns.
Yeah, that guy's Roman Reigns, I think Roman Reigns will probably be the Kane of it. I'll say he'll be the Kane of the Rumble this year. He'll maybe eclipse Kane, if not top it, I think. He is on such a roll right now. He might be the best guy they got right now as far as other young talent goes. He is he's like a spitfire right now.
Well, if I recall correctly, that year that Kane set that record, he was in the final two.
I think it was, what was that, 01, I think it was. I think it was 01 in New Orleans, if I remember, or something like that. I think that's when it happened. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. So, like I said, we'll see. But like I said, we got, four more shows to go. Five. I'm not counting main event as a show. But, we got SmackDown this week, of course, coming up tomorrow night in Worcester. And then we got Dayton and Grand Rapids coming up next week. So, the ratings should be good tonight. They were pretty good last week. I think they should be, again, decent tonight. But they're going to probably have to be really coming out swinging next Monday to really sell the Rumble. Because right now, you only got three matches listed for the Rumble. And if they really want to put another match or two on, they're going to have to announce either this week or next week. Right? The only things you hear is Lesnar and Big Show, the Rumble itself, and possibly maybe a Divas affair. You haven't heard a tag affair, maybe. I don't know if they're going to go back with Daniel Bryan Bray Wyatt one more time. Like I said, you have Cena and Orton, so who knows where they're going to go.
Ah, man. All right, JD, we're going to get to some other callers here. We really appreciate your patience, though. We appreciate you calling in as always, man. Good conversation.
No problem, guys. Have a good rest of the evening.
Absolutely, man. Enjoy your night. Oh, my goodness. We got a check, our own personal check going on here. Anthony Mango saying the final four should be JTG, Kurt Hawkins, Mason Ryan, and Yoshitatsu.
Calling it.
All right, let's bring on Skype caller we got here, CVAD81. Mr. Sivad, you are on Mega Powers Radio. What's shaking?
Appreciate it, man. Talking about the Hall of Fame tag teams and things like that, you know, we look at guys like the Steiner brothers who still aren't in. And, there's some other guys like Vader, who obviously did something big for the business, Ravishing Rick Rude.
Mm. That was unfortunate.
Yeah, I don't know if he Honky Tonk Man still got something against everybody, but I feel like they ought to get him in there. Dick the Bruiser, Lou Thesz. I mean, I could probably go on and on with this thing, but there's some great ones that aren't in.
I'm sorry, Steve, we didn't get your name. Is this Clint?
Yeah.
Oh, what's shaking, Clint? Welcome to the show. Mr. Clint Davis, lead host of XFI MMA Radio, or I'm sorry if I got to do that. XFI Fight Live is the name of the show?
XFI Live. Yeah, you bet.
Okay. We haven't heard from you in a while. Very good to have you back, dude. So what would you think about tonight's show overall?
Well, you know, I've really thought that things have been declining a lot lately, but tonight they kind of, aside from the fact that they had to build this show out as the biggest show of the year, I mean, they had to tell people that. So obviously everybody's going to watch. I mean, honestly, I know that was a good plug there. But, you know, there's been some things said about Daniel Bryan, and, you know, one of you guys said that they kind of turned him back to being a good guy too quick and things like that. Or there wouldn't be it wouldn't be a good thing to have him, the whole deal with AAA. I don't know. I just don't see him going on and doing something like that. I think it'd be a great thing to see him, win the Royal Rumble. I mean, I think that's where he's headed. And I think that they've done all this title controversy because he's going to win it at WrestleMania. I mean, you know, we've seen Orton a million times. We've seen him where he doesn't talk at all. And then we've seen him, now where he goes ballistic like a third grader. I mean, that act is getting old. People are sick of listening to Cena talk. Everything is the same with him. You know, I just don't see any of these other top guys that are going to be in that kind of role. And I definitely don't see Batista coming back after 4 years and after quitting in a wheelchair with a sling on his arm and then getting a shot at it. That was kind of a, you know, talk about throwing fits. It's just not good, man. Not good. Now, you guys got lucky. I was fixing to call in with one of my famous impressions. I've got a new one.
Oh,
and it's not Hank Hill or Randy Savage or Bill Clinton. It is Mountain Man from Duck Dynasty.
Uh-oh. What's he going to say?
I'm just going to say, what do y'all think about Daniel Bryan and his beard?
It's got nothing on you, man.
Nothing on who?
Nothing on you, Mountain Man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm supposed to say something specific. I don't watch that show.
No, he just. I don't know if you guys have ever, like, if you watch Duck Dynasty or anything like that, or go to YouTube and just type in Mountain Man, dude. He'll show up. There's a video on there of Jace Robertson talking about him doing his impression of it. It's hilarious. That guy's hilarious. I just started watching that show, by the way.
I watched about 30 seconds of one episode one time after this whole big scandal happened, and it was two guys and a woman in, like, a Rainwear and Flanagan or something like that, and the one woman and the one guy kept rolling all over a bed, and they were just talking about, this is comfy, we're going to have sex on this, and the other one was, like, their son or something, and I was just like, all right, I'm changing this channel right now.
You know, if they do really crazy stuff, and I hate to get off topic, but it's a great show actually. But no, all in all, man, this Monday Night Raw tonight, I think they've started out the right way for 2014, and I don't know, you know, you guys mentioned something about the booking and things like that. I don't know who honestly is completely behind that anymore, but I know that there's guys like Road Dogg involved in backstage matters. And some people don't like seeing these guys back. You guys, one of you mentioned Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper. You don't know why they would bring it back. Remember, I mean, this is a business. I mean, this is, you know, I'm a board member for an MMA promotion down here. And when I'm talking to our guy that makes our fight card, you know, we're talking about how are we going to fill this place up and sell the most tickets. And you know, we had a guy, we had a fighter who had a swastika tattooed on his chest, and he got on XFI Live one time and told a story about He had to get it in prison. If he didn't get that tattoo, he was probably going to end up dead. You know, so people judge books by their covers, but it's that controversy like that. You know, this is we want to see these people. Like, I want to see the New Age Outlaws on Monday Night Raw because I grew up in that. You know, I was in high school during the Attitude Era when the whole deal with the NWO hit, and then here comes DX on the scene, and you know, that's what we want to see. You know, people want to see Roddy Piper get back in a ring for whatever reason. I mean, it's just he's going to sell tickets. He's going to make some money, and Hulk Hogan's the same way. You can't stay away from the big name guys like that. And people like the whole nostalgia effect to it. So
there's always money in it. I just think wrestling, at least a long term matchup, might not be the wisest thing. I mean, you say Road Dogg could still go with anybody that's on that roster right now, better than most of them. It's funny, you have guys like Goldust and Road Dogg showing up and showing a better performance than almost any of the younger guys there. It doesn't speak well for them.
I think they want to get the younger guys. They want to get them more experience from guys like that. You know, like how Road Dogg said, you know, we're going to take the old school, mix it with the new school, and put it in a blender. You know, and that's what they got to do. There's so many new guys. This is a complete new age of wrestling. This is like I hate the term sports entertainment, but basically that's all it is when you're watching the WWE. But now you've got this old school stuff coming back in. Not only do the fans want to see it, it's good for these superstars, whatever. I hate that term too. It's good for the wrestlers. You know, we've got a wrestling promotion down here in this area who's actually getting kind of big. They're called Traditional Championship Wrestling. And I've been backstage at their shows with guys like Jake the Snake. I saw that guy 3 years ago and thought he was on his last leg, and he has completely turned things around. I've driven beautiful Bobby Eaton to Walmart so we could get a jock strap and some tape. And, yeah, you talk about marking out. This guy walks up to me, he said, "Hey, Clint, you busy right now?" And I said, "No, man." And he said, "Can you drive beautiful Bobby Eaton to Walmart?" And I was like, "Are you kidding me? Yes, I can drive beautiful Bobby Eaton to Walmart." I get in the car with beautiful Bobby Eaton, and I'm just looking at the road and then looking at him just repeatedly. He said, "You all right, man?" I said, "Dude, I'm driving beautiful Bobby Eaton to Walmart." You know, there's been crazy times. I've hung out with guys like Jay Lethal and seen DDP come down, and you know, they need that. Those guys, these wrestlers in this type of promotion like that, they love it. They eat it up because they get to wrestle the old school. They get to get the experience. You know, there's not a lot of people who around here nowadays. You got wrestlers in their early 20s saying, "You know, I wrestled DDP." Or Tommy Dreamer and Matt Hardy even came down here for these shows. I mean, they I think that they're going in the right direction, adding a more old school effect to it.
Clint, I've got two things I want to get your opinion on here before we start wrapping things up here. One of them, you mentioned briefly when you first got on the line here talking about some other people that might be deserving of going to the Hall of Fame. However, tonight we did get the announcement of the Ultimate Warrior. Do you think he's deserving, and do you think he's able to hold it as the headliner of WrestleMania 30's class?
Hulk Hogan.
Should have seen that coming.
You know, I think that, again, this goes back to clearly it's a business decision. I don't think it's based on, you know, because if you look at his all out record, the way I don't know if you guys saw the Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior DVD that came out, but how are you going to put out a video where they do nothing but talk trash about this guy? And, you know, rightfully so, he did a lot of stupid things. He canceled on them at the last minute and didn't show for events. And, you know, kind of the same thing happened in WCW. How could you take a guy like that with that kind of record and stick him in the Hall of Fame? I mean, they, you know, that's the reason why they all hated each other for years and probably still do. But, you know, they're doing this to kind of save face and that's a good thing. Cause like I said, people want to see the old school coming back in and, you know, so I'm cool with that. If it's about business, I'm great with it. But if they're, you know, somebody said on Facebook, in fact, it was one of the guys that wrestles down here in TCW. He said, "What's the over under on how fast Ultimate Warrior is going to come out to the podium that night and go into business for himself. You know, I mean, that's all he's going to do. He's going to go crazy. And I did like the idea of getting up there and shaking the podium. Whoever mentioned that,
that was me.
That would be amazing to see. But, you know, I think it's good for business. That's all I got to say about him.
What if this is all a ruse and they actually induct the Texas Tornado?
Oh, you got me there.
I'd love for him just to fucking, like, break kayfabe and shoot on Hogan like he did on those YouTube videos as soon as he gets on the podium.
Oh, my. He should challenge Kevin Nash to another fight. That's what he should do. All right, Clint, your high point and your low point for tonight's Monday Night Raw.
I'll tell you, my low point is watching anything that has to do with the Divas. I really don't like the whole, you know, I'm just not into them being in the ring. It's
well, tonight's match was extra embarrassing.
Yeah, it's like letting kids cook you dinner. You know, I'm just not into that. But, and it's silly. And there's probably going to be some fit throwing in there somewhere. But my high point, and I'm glad you asked me that, because I've never – well, I say never. I used to have this watching WCW. This probably hasn't happened to me in, I would say, a good 15 years at least. At the very end of Monday Night Raw, I am watching as Daniel Bryan climbs the cage, and everyone in that crowd is with him. I mean, I got chills, and it's been a long time since I've gotten chills watching Monday Night Raw, but everybody was, I mean, he was in sync with everybody. And I know the Yes chant is popular and has been for a while, but tonight there was just something different about it. I think that he's got a lot of momentum, and I think that the tide is kind of rolling in his favor here. And if they can use him the right way and not bring him in, like guys like Antonio Cesaro, who they build to be the greatest foreign thing that ever came into the WWE besides Santino. You know, if they take him and use him the right way and don't blow it up with him, he's going to be probably one of the best we'll ever see. I think the people want to see that.
Absolutely. Clint, we really appreciate you calling in, man. Totally cool of you.
Yeah, man.
Calling anytime.
Appreciate it. And I gotta apologize to Mike Payton. Apparently, I got drunk the other night and was talking a bunch of hoodoo on Facebook, and we disagreed. And
we all said things we shouldn't have, man.
Yeah, so
I appreciate
you
calling and being a cool man. I apologize too. Look at this, we're making up on air. It's beautiful, people.
That's how it goes. All right, guys, I appreciate you guys letting me be on. We'll talk to you later.
Always welcome, Clint. Have a good night, man.
Thanks, man.
See you, Clint.
All right, we got one more caller sitting on the line here. Let's bring him on, another good friend of the show, Brian the Brain Biner. What's shaking, Brian?
Not much. Good show. Great Raw. Well, not great Raw. Almost great Raw. I mean, first match was okay, then you had an hour of suck, and then CM Punk and six-man tag was okay, and then you had an hour of suck, and then we get to the end, and we have greatness again. It was, you know... sorry to say it, but
hills and valleys, man. That's the way it's always going to be. Can't have 100% high octane the whole time.
Why not? Old school Raw was. The thing is it was a B+ Raw until the end, and then we get A+. I mean, once again, Daniel Bryan is yes, Daniel Bryan, and not with the Wyatts. It was awesome. And then we get the Hall of Fame induction of the worst wrestler of all time, Ultimate Warrior. I mean, come on, people, really? Do we not know what this man has done? He was Dingo Warrior WCCW. Then he comes to the WWE. He works half-ass, gets to be champion, and now he goes in the Hall of Fame. It's the worst induction ever. Ever. I've always hated him. He's never been fan-friendly. I just don't understand why people are marking out for the man. He just...
Well, there's a lot of fans who don't know a lot about the backstage shenanigans that have gone down. They just know him as the guy who came out and shook the ropes and beat Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, okay, that's great. One moment in history, but... Unfortunately, he chapped my hide when he was at WCCW. He was supposed to do a fan event where my family had actually won rights to go backstage at WCCW events, gets signed autographs by all the wrestlers, and he sat there, and I had an awesome Dingo Warrior, picture, ready to be autographed. Mm-hmm. And he sat there and he ripped it up right in my face. And that's something you don't do to a child. It has always been my reasoning for hating him. Lex Luger is number two on my list as wrestlers that should never go in the Hall of Fame. But that's another story. So
Brian, let's be positive. Let's not just think. Oh, so if it was an Ultimate Warrior, who would be your headlining person?
Jake the Snake. Absolutely. He should go in. I mean, he's not in there yet.
But it's a headliner? You think he sells enough for that?
He's come back from the brink of death to live again and be out there among us and not just do drugs and be an alcoholic. He was so fan-friendly. He was one of the ones that actually, when I first met him, I was real young. He was super awesome, nice. He would let you, play around the snake, and he did a lot of stuff for his fans, and that's part of it. I know he never held any of the big titles. I understand that, but he also was one of the best performers of his time.
Yeah, I'm just worried that he's been out of the scene for so long. I think he's a name that a lot of people will remember just because it's just such an infamous name, Jake the Snake. That's something you remember when you hear it. He's just been gone for so long. I think he will be in this class. I don't doubt that he will be. I mean, Tony was saying it's tough to see Warrior as a headliner. It would be tough for me to see Jake as a headliner. I mean, the guy didn't win any titles. He had a lot of memorable moments. I mean, who could forget like the snake biting Macho Man's arm?
Exactly.
Was he involved in that blindfold match? That was him, right? Him and
he was
Martel?
Blinded. He was blinded.
Yeah, he was blinded, and then that's why they had the blindfold match. They put the one over Martel. I think he did it with what was that thing called? The neutralizer? No, that's
the neutralizer.
Is that what it's called? The neuralizer. I don't know what that's called.
The neuralizer. Yeah.
One of those.
Where the fans were actually cheering them and telling them where to go. It was awesome. You don't get that fan reaction interaction. It's like Daniel Bryan. You don't get that fan interaction very often with a wrestler where it's like, I don't know, he's so over that we just make him so much better. I don't know. Maybe Undertaker. Taker could be your headliner with Paul Bearer. I do like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that idea. That's definitely plus positive. DDP would be another good one. He's been out of wrestling for long enough to go in the Hall. Kevin Nash is Diesel. 1-2-3 Kid or X-Pac. Scott Hall. I mean, you got a good list of people that are available for the Hall of Fame this year. I mean, I don't know.
So, transferring out of the Hall of Fame, one last thing I wanted to ask you about with the big announcement of the WWE Network, which we haven't really even gotten a chance to talk about this show yet. We did a huge, huge recap of it on the Smack Talk podcast. So check out smarkoutmoment.com if you want to hear more of our opinions on that. But Brian, are you excited for WWE Network?
Oh, absolutely. I cannot wait. I'm going to put my $9.99 down a month because that's cheaper than buying the pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that eventually it will be $19.99 a month or $24.99 a month or something like that, in a few years or whatever. But I think it's well worth it. It's going to innovate how we watch TV, I do believe, because they probably won't be the last ones to do it. The thing is what I like to see is if they're going to do it, they need to get aboard with, like, maybe a Netflix or something like that where it's all encompassing, because to pay $9.99 just for one seems to be a little, I'm already doing it for Netflix and Hulu Plus. WWE's going to give me more to watch, because then I can check out my band, Let's see. Get to watch some old school Raw. Get to watch some.
You get to watch more Jake the Snake.
Get to watch more Jake the Snake and get to see WCW Monday Night Raw, Monday Night Wars, and Chris Benoit in some matches. I can't wait for that. That's another person. There you go. Put Chris Benoit.
No, no, yeah. No. All right,
shut
Brian.
The fuck up. No way.
Brian, your high point and your low point for tonight's Monday Night Raw.
High point, Daniel Bryan. Swerve, because I do call that a swerve, because
yeah.
Nobody was expecting it after 2 weeks. Everybody thought it was going to go on forever. Low point, Divas match, and no Summer Rae.
Oh, that's true. No Summer Rae, or Fandango for that matter. I'm sure you don't care, but look, I do.
And look, and him going in the Hall of Fame wasn't even my low point. That's sad.
We should put Fandango in the Hall of Fame.
No, I mean, yes, yeah, Fandango in already, yes.
All right, Brian, appreciate you calling in, man. Have a good night.
You too.
Lots of good callers tonight. Once again, the phone lines will remain open until we're going off the air. Call in anytime you wish. Area code 760-512-7247. And you can also do so by pressing the little Skype icon on the top. Take some comments we got from the chat room here. We got a lot to get caught up on. We were just talking about Jake the Snake going in. Retro on Limb Network also says Scott Hall should go in as well. I say, why not? Why not put the whole family in? Just get Jake, Scott, and DDP. Put them in together so they can have a good feel-good moment on stage. Yeah?
No.
No?
Yeah. Yeah, Scott Hall has to go in with Kevin Nash if he goes in with anybody.
Yep.
Or with the NWO. By himself.
I don't mind him going in with Hogan if Hogan goes in a second time for the NWO. Otherwise, it just needs to be the outsiders with Kevin Nash.
I guess we'll remain to see that. Let's see. We got Mr. James Baelish calling in, and I guess this is something I can actually just forward to talking about the match. We had the New Age Outlaws teaming with CM Punk to go against The Shield, and this, you want to talk about a swerve. Out of nowhere, CM Punk was getting beat up for pretty much this entire match until he was getting ready to go for the hot tag. And just as he was, old-timey tactic of the tag team partners just dropping from the apron and walking away, turning their backs on the partner. The New Age Outlaws left CM Punk high and dry. The question Brian gave us, what do you think about the New Age Outlaws tonight on Raw, leaving Punk for dead during their match? Tony? What do you think about the turn of events for the New Age Outlaws tonight?
I think if this is all to do with the Triple H thing, and like they're the only reason that they're doing this is because of the same reason that HBK did, where they're friends with Triple H, that's good. But if there's another reason for it, then I don't really know. It kind of all depends. There was a lot of stuff I liked in this segment, though. I liked the match. I liked the beginning of it with the whole the introduction of New Age Outlaws, because that's always cool. One thing that's confusing me about that, though, is they still are bleeping out your ass better call somebody, but then he goes flat out fine with saying the badass Billy Gunn. So I'm really confused about that. JBL did a good little jab at Billy Gunn where he said that he forgot the word, so he needed the WWE Universe to help him out. The Flash Funk reference was funny. two other things that I thought was funny during this match. These are just things that strike me funny. Emma in the crowd.
Oh, my goodness. Doing her stupid arm thing.
Right. Did she pay for a ticket? They didn't give her just a backstage. Did she have to fucking pay? And
Would you let that bitch into the arena?
One thing that just really struck me funny, and I don't know if anybody else noticed it. Seth Rollins, maybe about 10 times in this match, kept going, "Don't forget about that eye. Don't forget about the eye. The eye. Don't forget about the eye." And it was just like, dude, shut up.
What eye?
When CM Punk was down and he was holding his eye and Dean Ambrose was attacking like his legs or something like that, Seth Rollins really wanted him to go after that fucking eye.
I must have missed that.
Oh my God. Rewatch the match and just listen to that part, because he does it, I swear to God, maybe 7 times in a row and then waits like 30 seconds and then starts doing it again.
Between that and the long sleeves, he's fucking weird tonight.
But I liked it. I liked the match itself before the turn. I liked the idea of the turn. I like how the New Age Outlaws are going to be coming to SmackDown and having the match with Cody Rhodes and Goldust. I think this is all good signs ahead.
Steven, we actually just got a follow-up question from Mr. James Baelish, and I'll pass this one on to you. He says, and lastly, do you think the New Age Outlaws will face Punk for a while, or is this just going to be a short-term storyline, I'm guessing, to get the New Age Outlaws into the Authority side?
I think it's just a way to bring the New Age Outlaws back just as a full-time tag team. I don't think you're going to see too much with CM Punk and the New Age Outlaws, maybe the odd scuffle. But I think if the bigger picture is Triple H versus CM Punk. I don't know when, but that's probably what they're leading to. As far as the New Age Outlaws, I could see them getting involved in the tag picture. I honestly wouldn't mind a long-term feud between them and Cody Rhodes and Goldust. I'm a big fan of both teams. The one thing about this heel turn tonight, I'm just hoping that they're kind of, if you remember back in the 1999, there were heels, but they used to get the face pop and reaction during their talks, intros and stuff, and then go back to being heels. I hope we get that. Sorry to the New Age Outlaws and the fans.
They're still going to come out and do the "Yo, ass better call somebody," or if they're just going to put on suits and just walk out.
I want them to be like they were back when they were heels before. They used to be over with the crowd when they came out, then the fans would go back to booing them. But in the long run, I see the New Age Outlaws probably having a couple tag feuds, maybe have an odd scuffle with Punk, but it's all just going to lead to an eventual CM Punk versus Triple H match. Maybe that's what they're going to do at Mania for CM Punk and Triple H.
Oh, don't get comfortable reading your handbook, Chris, because we're coming to you. I know you didn't start watching until later on than a lot of us, so you probably don't have as much of a nostalgic attachment to the New Age Outlaws, unless you remember them more from their TNA days. I guess you were watching them during that time. Are you excited to see them here, and how do you feel about this turn of events for them?
He's really enjoying that handbook.
Yeah, apparently he is.
Fanboys Anonymous handbook.
All right, well then, Sean, let's pose it over to you. How do you feel about him? Such riveting conversation coming from you guys.
What can I say? I joined the WWE during the Invasion era, so, you know. But, you know, it's always great to see the old timers back in wrestling. They still got it, you know. Watching them on SmackDown last week, watching them on Raw this week, you know, probably watch them again next SmackDown, you know. They can still go. And I think they're just going to feud for the tag team belts for a while.
Bringing a couple of comments we got from the chat room. Brian the Brain saying they could have done a New Age Outlaws attack on Punk and help the Shield with a beatdown. They could have taken it that one step further, but... yeah, Punk's taking enough abuse. Let's give him a little bit. I mean,
plus I don't want to see the Shield teaming with the New Age Outlaws. I like them being their rogue group that does what the fuck they want.
Well, they haven't really kept themselves affiliated with the Authority for a while now, so I don't know if they are even still, but they were for a period there. But speaking of Punk's abuse, my gosh, that one running, leaping drop kick that Roman Reigns did on the outside of the ring, my gosh, was that intense. Also from the chat, we got Retro and Limb Network saying that was definitely one of the low points tonight. No one wants to watch those guys just leave. It got huge boos. And he's not wrong. A lot of people were quite upset. I'm intrigued. I'm gonna watch where it goes.
It got a heel reaction. It was a heel turn. If that's anything, that's success.
Jester, let's see if we got you back here.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. All right, man. Take over.
I have a new mic, so I might have hit a button or something, I think. But, yeah, so I think that it's definitely a short-term program. I think it's just going to be the whole friends with Triple H thing. All the rumors are Punk and Triple H are supposed to be having a match at WrestleMania, so they're probably trying to set up that. I don't think it's going to be like a Punk Outlaws program type deal. I'm not too excited about them being back. They're good for their age. They're pretty good in the ring. I'm not overly entertained by their characters. Maybe you guys have a nostalgic attachment to them because you watched them growing up, but they're okay. I'm not a huge fan, so it doesn't really do a lot for me. When they come back, I was like, oh, cool. But like,
it's the Voodoo Kin Mafia. Yeah.
Damn it, Peyton, you beat me to my joke again.
Yeah, I mean, if your only experience to them was really more their TNA days, I couldn't blame you for not being as excited.
Right.
And I got to say, like, I think to me they don't look so old, but I think to a random person who was just watching wrestling now and saw these guys come out, I think they look old. Matter of fact, I had company over, and they came up with what I think I'm going to start calling him from now on. He called him Bald-Ass Billy Gunn. It's pretty appropriate.
Well, JBL was trying to say that Billy Gunn looks better now than he did in 2000.
I don't know about
that. Yeah, because he had a fucking t-shirt on.
I think it's his eyesight's just going, and that's why he looks better to him.
Yeah, indeed. So, all right, let's start moving around some of the other bits we had on this show tonight. We had John Cena getting Damian Sandow was the one getting the rematch against John Cena after his unsuccessful cash-in attempt with his Money in the Bank about, 2 months ago? He said it's a new year, it's a new Damian Sandow, and it's time for him to get another chance. This was a fine little match. It wasn't too long, but I think they got a lot in there. Specifically, we saw Damian Sandow debut a new submission finisher. He calls it the Royal Arch. It's kind of like a sharpshooter, except he doesn't quite turn over all the way and puts more pressure on the lower lumbar or the back. It's neat. I dig it. I'd like to see it again. I think he could work it into more matches as he goes forward. And it's always good for everyone to have a submission because you never know where you're going to get caught off guard going into a submission match.
When did he start using the Daniel lock? I mean,
the crossface. That's also something he pulled out later in the match. Cena initially had the STFU on. Sandow reverses that into a crossface, which absolutely surprised the hell out of me. Cena does this thing he does 100 times. You've seen him do it. He lifts the person up onto his shoulders from the ground, does an A, gets the pin, blah, blah, blah. John Cena wins. But Sandow, I think, making some noteworthy things here with two submission finishers. Steven, is this good development for Damian Sandow? And even though he lost to John Cena, are we going to see a new one this year?
I don't think he's going to do anything spectacular this year. We might get a Intercontinental title run. I'd like to see that, just because I want to see what that old vintage title looks like on him. But I don't see many big things for Damian Sandow. I'm glad that he's adding to his repertoire, though. He's definitely a guy you can see using a submission, so hopefully they let him beat a few guys and get it over.
You think with a guy who's so intelligent, he would learn a lot about, like, human anatomy and pressure points and things of that nature. It would be very fitting for him.
Mm-hmm, I definitely agree. The match itself tonight wasn't too bad. It was a quick match. Both guys went out there, delivered. John Cena won as per usual, but it served its purpose. And as long as Damian Sandow keeps going out and looking good, it's the backstage are going to notice, and hopefully he'll get a push out of it.
Mr. Chester, I see you're saying that you weren't as big of a fan of this match. What were your gripes with it?
I didn't think it was that good at all. I think Cena's faces were just driving me nuts the whole match. Like when Sandow would kick out and Cena would make this awful acting shock face. Like, what? He kicked out of my suplex or something? Like, all of John Cena's mannerisms just really ruined it for me. You can say what you want about the acting aspect of pro wrestling, but when you're making stupid faces and stupid mannerisms, I can't take anything you or your opponent are doing seriously. And I know I posted in the Squared Circle group about it. A lot of people agreed with me. I'm getting really tired with the poor acting and poor mannerisms on Cena's part. It drives me nuts. I didn't even think the sequences of the moves were that crisp. The only thing I even remotely liked was the crossface that Sandow did. The new finisher looked like crap on Cena. I don't know if he was selling it poorly or if it was done weird. The way he applied it, it looked weird. And then the STF didn't look painful at all, as usual. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't a fan of the match at all. I thought there were maybe 3 matches that were better than that one tonight.
Well, I'll tell you exactly what the problem with the Royal Arch was tonight, and it's that Cena has those tiny little legs.
Yeah.
Tiny little ankles.
Any leg submission looks like shit on John Cena. I'll agree.
Yeah, Cena needs to start working his legs, bro.
All right, Mr. Sean Walker, you have a little bit more to say about this match?
Thought this match was this match was my best match of the night, but then again, I did watch The Prisoners, which is an awful, awful movie. I recommend nobody watch it. I only watched it just to get in this girl's pants. Another story for another day. But yeah, Sandow did this weird neck breaker thing on Cena. And I don't know if he normally does that or what, but Sandow really stood out for me in this match with his new moves. Cena needs to have a dictionary of moves so he can pick from instead of those 5 moves that Doom he got.
By the way, Cena debuted a new move tonight. I don't know if you guys noticed.
He kind of like did this back thing, like backdrop, and then span out into a neckbreaker.
He's done that before.
He has. I've never seen him do it.
Yeah, he doesn't do it. He doesn't do it very often. He's done it before.
It looked pretty crisp. I liked it. He should use it more often.
Yeah, it was all right. It's better than most of his stuff.
It's not a Hurricane Rana, but you know it's cool.
I think the move I like the most that he does is that like leg drop guillotine off the top.
Oh heck yeah!
I actually like that move. That's like the only move of his that I actually like, though.
With his dinky little legs.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! All right, so we got some more backstage tension between Kane and Brad Maddox. I don't know. Anybody excited for this development?
Kane versus Braddock's May WrestleMania 30 main event.
I think it's going to be another Kane versus Chavo.
I do like Brad Maddox.
I wouldn't mind seeing Braddock get put through the stage. That'd be fun.
It would.
Let's see. We are Divas match night was AJ Lee and Tamina teaming up against the Funkadactyls, and this was pretty subpar. I mean, we've had some awful Divas matches lately with the Jingles Bells matches and all those, but I actually kind of had hopes for this with Naomi in there and AJ, and even Tamina's not too bad. Cameron's still but this was not a good match at all. It's very sloppy, a lot of messed up moves. I'm assuming that they called an audible and ended this match sooner than they did, because it kind of came out of nowhere, and that was that. Yeah, the blonde hair on Cameron was not looking cool. Also, Naomi had this gold lipstick on. It was very distracting. Everything about this just was just really awkward. I mean, is there anything else anybody wants to add to that?
Such women. Luck shit. Wow.
Oh, I like this. Brian the Brain saying Kane versus Maddox in a Buried Alive match. I can get it. We haven't had a Buried Alive match in a long time.
I just had Triple H flash in my mind. Did someone say Barry?
Yeah, that's what I did too. I was going to say, you do every week at Triple H is on Raw. What are you talking about?
I was trying to craft an authority buried joke.
Yeah. All our minds were the same
way.
Aren't we all just on the same road? Jeez.
I do want to say about Naomi that I think the rear view is the stupidest move in wrestling history. That's all I want to add.
Yeah, but she's got such a sweet ass.
Axel's, whatever the fuck you call that finisher.
The face plant, whatever it is.
I don't know. I think the big ending's still the worst.
I mean, she's a black chick with a big butt who just hits people with her butt. That's the move.
I would take a rear view any day. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe the big ending was the alternative name for the rear view.
Let's just rush through anything else we're probably not going to speak much about. We had Rey Mysterio versus Alberto Del Rio. I doubt even half you guys even watched this match.
Yeah, I skipped past it as soon as I saw Del Rio. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, Del Rio wins with an arm breaker. It's all you got to say about that. Let's see. We had Cody Rhodes and Goldust teaming together against Ryback. That's Ryback and Curtis Axel. Somehow, Ryback still has a job after all this freaking heinous stuff that was going on over the internet this week. If you haven't kept up on it, Ryback put out a series of interesting tweets, and by the next day his entire Twitter feed was deleted. Scoops was going rampant saying that he was released. He was making jokes saying, I'm released. Just kidding. No, I'm not. I was released from the cops, blah, 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 blah. Weird, weird stuff. Jester, why don't you, got a theory on this. Take over with that.
I think it's a work.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about all the stuff he was tweeting during the show. They were using it as ammunition. During the match, they were discussing how Ryback's been going crazy on Twitter lately, blah, blah, blah. It's totally a work. They would not have even mentioned it if it was really serious stuff they were upset about him saying. They're like, hey, we're going to use social media as an outlet again to make people pay attention to us. They do this all the time. I absolutely think it was a work. Ryback's not even in the doghouse. It's fine. I don't think there's any merit to it being a negative thing at all. They decided, hey, you have some grievances, we're going to use social media to make it into something, because they understand that social media can be used. If people are talking about Ryback, they weren't talking about him a month ago, so that's fine. That's obviously what it is to me.
I was talking about Ryback a month ago.
Matter of fact, we just got a question from the chat I'm going to pose directly to you, Steven. Brian the Brain asks, why does Ryback have a job?
Because Ryback rules.
Ryback?
Good answer. So a better question is, why does Curtis Axel still have a job?
Because
he's the new best in the world. That's right.
Because Kurt Hamilton squirted him out one day.
Axel for next Wyatt member, in my opinion.
You know, my one friend actually brought up a good idea. I think sub Curtis Axel in for Antonio Cesaro's spot in The Real Americans. At least he's American.
Yeah.
And let Cesaro go on to bigger, better things.
Be better than keeping up Ryback's.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, but then what does Ryback do? Is he going to go back to being a single star?
Get fired, apparently.
Sheffield. Maybe he can be the next Gilbert.
Sean, you've been a little quiet. You got anything you want to add to this?
No.
No? Okay. So let's get into a match I think we were all waiting to talk about here. We had Randy Orton, first off, going to the backstage, complaining to Kane, saying, what's going on here? I got Brock Lesnar saying he wants to challenge me. I got Batista coming back. I'm the champion. I should be protected. Kane's like, that's not my problem, but I tell you what I can do for you tonight. You're going to have a match with Kofi Kingston. Randy Orton, obviously forgetting the events of the past, saying, huh, yeah, okay, I'll do that. No big deal. Goes out to have the match. First off, a long, boring match. Probably one of the most boring matches Kofi Kingston's ever had. Lots of headlocks, blah, blah, blah. However, out of nowhere, Kofi Kingston slaps the SOS on and actually gets a pin with it. I don't think I've ever seen him actually get a pin with the SOS.
I have.
It's always a mid-match move.
He used to be a finisher, which he used to alternate, and then he decided that it was just a false finish.
Yep.
Well, it wasn't a false finish tonight. He got that pin on the current Unified Champion, which you got to think puts Kofi in contention, right? after the match, Randy Orton goes absolutely ballistic. He's getting angry at all the fans chanting at him. For once, it's not actually just the voices in his head. It's the voices all around in the arena. He has a conniption, and he starts attacking John Cena's dad sitting in the front row.
What a unique idea that they've never done before.
Man, why can't somebody attack Miz's dad?
You know, we saw this years ago. Randy Orton pulled his father, John Cena's father, I should say, over the railing, put him onto the ground, punted him in the head. Obviously, they couldn't do something that extreme now, and obviously, I don't want to completely copy it. So this time, Randy Orton just kind of gave him a few punches, knocked him down to the ground. John Cena comes out, chases Randy Orton off. John Cena goes around the barricade to check on his dad, and the whole time, John Cena is like yelling at people, no, move back, give us room. And they keep panning down to John Cena's dad. And all I can keep thinking of is, I feel so bad for this guy that he has to sit face down on that nasty ass dirty ground. Because I don't know if you looked, there was just all types of like sticky soda and popcorn and all types of crap sitting there. Huh.
He probably got paid a lot. It's fine.
No, yeah, you're probably not wrong.
At least he didn't get dropped on his fucking head this time.
Yeah, this is the third time he's gotten his ass kicked. Cena's dad's a pussy. I'm sorry. Edge did it too.
Imagine the backstage call that they do. They're like, hey, dad, we don't have a lot of steam on this angle right now. Can you come on the show and get your ass kicked again? No, Randy Orton's going to do it again. No, it's fun.
Yeah, I bet they don't even tell him that he's being a part of the angle. They're just like, hey, do you want to come to the show tonight? Cool, thanks. By the
he
way.
He just knows.
He's sitting there getting punched by Orton, and he's like, why aren't you fighting Kofi Kingston's dad? He's the one who fucking beat you.
Oh, we're getting some funny comments in the chat here. We had Brian the Brain saying this happened with Gallagher sitting next to him. Yeah, that guy did look like fat Gallagher. I assumed it was like a friend or something, but then again, they kind of just rushed him off when the whole thing happened, so maybe not. It was just a dude sitting there. Retro and Limb Network, Miz's dad looked like Hillbilly Steve.
Is that by another... the way, Retro's Clint.
It is Clint, okay. Is that another Duck Dynasty guy? Because I don't know who Hillbilly Steve is.
I want to see Orton punt a watermelon now.
Brian the Brain telling us Cena's dad is an actor. I've seen him in TV shows. Slim RJS, Miz's dad was an indie worker? Really?
No.
No.
I can't imagine. No, that can't
be. Yeah, he actually was a turnbuckle.
I was going to say he's a luchador. He fucking beat me out.
I could see maybe like a backyard wrestler, but really?
Yeah, he just used to beat the piss out of Miz by in the backyard.
Wow. Real Americans are gone who did not want to be there? Huh?
What?
The Real Americans are gone?
They
What's
are?
Happening? What? I'm so confused. I don't know. Let's just go around and get your guys' thoughts about the situation with Randy Orton and Kofi Kingston and John Cena and John Cena's dad. There's just a lot happening in this 15-minute period. Sean, why don't you start us off on this one?
John Cena needs to get his dad a VIP box in future, man. I'm telling you. That seat is just not working out for him. Every time he sits in that seat, something bad happens to him. So just put him in a VIP box. Safety first.
Clint letting us know Hillbilly Steve is a staple on his show. He has a farmhouse down there and bench presses gallon jugs of pond water in the front yard. Are you sure this isn't a guy from Duck Dynasty? Sounds like it. Steven, why don't you take over for us? How do you feel about this whole situation that's going down with all these characters?
First, I didn't think the match was too bad. I thought they did a good job of getting some heel heat with Orton beating him down. He actually looked a bit more vicious. That's unfortunate when Randy Orton is in a long-winded match. He sometimes can get a bit stale, but overall, I didn't mind this match too much. As far as the angle goes, what's the fucking point? We've seen it before. There's already heat between John Cena and Orton. Why can't it just be about winning the championship for once? But whatever. It is what it is. This whole Orton versus Cena thing should have died out after Royal Rumble. So
I thought they buried the hatchet. Like, what was it when John Cena got fired because of the whole Nexus thing, or maybe it was the John Laurinaitis thing, and he was going through the backstage and everyone was giving him props. The very last guy at the end was Randy Orton, and they hugged, and pretty sure they whispered sweet nothings into each other's ear, and then John Cena was back the next week on Raw. Wasn't a big deal, but I thought they were cool.
You're supposed to forget about it, Peyton. Shh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to make light of this the second time that Orton's beat the piss out of his dad. I mean, I know they're normally guys that just forget about the history, but it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I guess we'll have to see. I mean, I would be surprised if they even make any more out of this. I think this might have just been Orton was pissed. He lashed out on a guy who was there, and it's just more fodder for Cena to use later on.
By the way, why were they putting a fucking neck brace on the guy? He got knocked out.
Because he's old. And like whenever you're putting someone on a stretcher, you have to put a neck brace on them.
They put him on a stretcher?
Yeah.
They took
him off in an ambulance.
Oh, yeah. I forget about Cena.
Remember John Cena had to like tell everyone in the front row to push their chairs back? Yeah, they must have really liked that.
Yeah, I would have been pissed off, too. They should have just got Orton to fucking throw him over the barricade so they could have just done it that side.
Brian the Brain saying, I remember when family had to sit in the cheap seats, just like Emma tonight.
Hey, at least Emma got a better seat than Zack Ryder. There's a picture of him just standing in the hallway with the open doors that just went on scscoops.com. So.
Like, hey guys, I know Fandango doesn't have a match tonight. Can I go out there? And they're like, no, the Usos are going to wrestle twice instead. Fuck you, Zack.
But yeah, there's not too much to say about this. I didn't mind the match so much, and the angle's stupid.
Just taking it back for a second, Slim RJS had a funny comment I had to add. He says, cute Kip is losing his battle with his hairline. Mr. Chris Jester, how do you feel about what's going on? I know you're a huge Randy Orton fan. Are you upset about this loss to Kofi Kingston?
I'm not upset. I love mentally unstable Randy Orton. He is so entertaining, and I also liked the match. I think when you're talking about the heel champion, you can't expect fucking drop kicks and cross body blocks. You know, like, it's supposed to be a slow, monotonous pace. He's supposed to grind his opponent down. That's Randy Orton's style.
Mm.
You can't expect this high energy match that you would normally get out of Kofi. I thought the match was fine. I liked it a lot more than I liked the Cena Sandow match. And I know the direction they're going with this is Cena is going to avenge his dad and win the belt at the Royal Rumble. And it annoys the hell out of me. Because what should happen is Orton should lose his shit and either get disqualified at the Rumble or should viciously beat Cena into the ground. But instead, Orton's going to let this psychological bullshit cause him to lose to John Cena. Because he's got to avenge his daddy. As soon as Orton attacked his dad, I said, Cena wins at the Rumble. No way anything else happens. I thought it might have been Punk winning the Rumble and Punk facing Orton at Mania. But now it seems like Punk's going to face Triple H and Cena's going to face somebody else. I don't know who. But I thought the match was fine. I think using Cena's dad again is retarded. And I really like mentally unstable Randy Orton. And I also read a thing earlier today that said Kofi is supposedly getting a character change, a heel turn, new entrance music, all that stuff. So this is probably the start of his push.
Gonna be a hard pill to swallow. Bring that theme, and I love that theme.
Yeah,
I think if Kofi turns heel, he's gotta stop with the exciting match bullshit, though. It's really hard to boo a guy who you enjoy watching all that much. Like, hey, this guy does all these cool moves and stuff, but boo, he's a bad person. You know, like, kids aren't gonna do that. So he's gotta change his style up if he's gonna be a heel.
Oh, can we just say, I didn't mention this, Big Show knocking out Zeb Coulter? That was messed up. How could people cheer that? We talk a lot about babyface and heel tactics. That's a total heel tactic. He knocked out an old man, a man who fought for this country.
You sound like
he knocked out a racist.
He's not a racist. He's just a nationalist.
He's following the Sheamus mentality of go on the be a star thing and then bully people.
Okay. Huh. Well, Tony, you're the last one we got here.
Kofi Kingston beating Orton's pretty interesting. I mean, it's happened before, and then it didn't really go anywhere. I doubt that it's really going to happen this time either. I don't think Kofi's going to get some kind of a giant push now, especially now that we don't have that second world title. But, you know, if they were going to give somebody a random win over Orton, sometimes it's good for Kofi to get a win here and there. It kind of helps him out.
Guess who's getting punted next week?
Oh, no.
I wouldn't be too surprised, but I really hope that that doesn't happen because I think that they need Kofi in the Royal Rumble to do some kind of a cool spot.
Whatever happened to that whole thing with Kofi and Miz? Did that ever get a payoff?
Well, you know what? Miz was another person that wasn't on tonight's episode, which was kind of odd. I mean, some people it makes sense. You know, you don't have Brodus Clay or 3MB or whatever, but we didn't see Bad News Barrett. We didn't see Big E. We didn't see Fandango, Miz. So
they mentioned Miz, that's all. They just mentioned he was going to be in the Rumble.
I guess that they kind of just gave up on that unless they build that into the Royal Rumble. Maybe the two of them eliminate each other, kind of both men go over the rope kind of thing or something like that. But maybe they just decided they didn't know where they were going to go, and the longer they dragged it out, the more people would realize that they didn't know where it would go. So they just figured they would just stop doing it or something. But I like the idea of Orton losing to Kofi Kingston just out of the blue, but I hope that he doesn't lose at the Royal Rumble.
You know who is getting punted next week? John Cena's mom.
That would be great.
I'd mark out for that. That'd be good booking.
No, you know who it should be? It should be Kofi Kingston's dad, who is also Miz's dad.
That's what they're fighting. It's a sibling rivalry.
Yeah, that's how this whole story concludes. They have the same dad.
TNA, TNA.
And they
TNA.
Finally have the blow-off match with Michael Strahan as the referee.
Well, you know what?
It's a hip toss match.
Why not have Orton, if you really want to make Orton like a super bad guy in the eyes of the fans, punt Nikki Bella.
Ooh.
Ooh.
She's dating John Cena.
Ooh.
Punch punch her fucking breast implant out.
Well, then that'll get a lot of boo.
That's too much heat, man. You can't do that.
Vince McMahon backstage, he's like, what did you do?
Oh, goodness. Slim RJS came up with a good answer for why people were cheering Big Show's knocking out of Zeb Coulter. He said the arena was filled with illegal aliens. Clint Davis also responding to Chris Jester's comments earlier about liking mentally unstable Randy Orton. He says, mentally unstable Randy Orton is about as funny as mentally unstable, just regular Eugene. And Slim RGS dropping a little sports on us here. He says, one thing that is not being punted are the Patriots on fourth down. Their punter's injured. That's sad.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I get it.
Yeah, Chris would get it. Chris, our resident sports dude here. We're not going to talk about the Patriots. That's for another time, another night.
On a different show, on a different network.
All right, guys. So I guess that's Raw.
Huh.
Yeah.
I thought more happened.
What about the main event?
We talked about that
at the beginning, didn't we?
Yeah, we talked about the very beginning. So
I think it's really cool that the Usos were in a main event.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's cool.
They opened and closed the show, for that matter.
Yeah, rock on. They made a big deal about it, too. They did that little video package thing, and then...
Oh, with the split screens? That was awesome.
And they looked really serious when they came out. Like, they were like, yeah, main event time. And they won. That's cool. I'm behind that.
No one actually mentioned the quality of the main event. What did you guys actually think about it?
It was all right. It was fine.
It was okay.
I mean, they wrestled twice, so you can't really expect either match to be super duper long. If you combine them, that's one really long tag match. So the second part just had a cage in it.
I've never been very big on tag team steel cage matches.
I think it could have been more dramatic, like having one Uso fall out, and then it's like, I thought maybe then the other Uso would get his ass kicked by both Bryan and Bray for a while, but instead, like, one comes out, and then, like, a couple seconds later, the other one just, like, drops to the floor, and the camera wasn't even watching when he fell, and then it, like, panned over, and it's like, oh, okay, they win, ooh!
So, it's a resounding meh.
Yeah.
I liked it. It wasn't fantastic. We're not going to, I'm not writing it down on my list of the best matches of the year to, you know, keep track of or anything like that. But I thought that it was pretty good. And the first match was, you know, interesting too.
Yep. All right, guys, let's go around here and get your final thoughts and your high point, low point of tonight's show. Steven, why don't you start us off?
My high point was the end of the show. It was hard because I thought my high point was going to be the New Age Outlaws. Every time they cut a promo, it's just so much fun. But my high point ended up being Daniel Bryan at the end, kicking the piss out of Bray Wyatt and just being so over with the crowd. I guess they got lucky with the booking on that one, because the reaction was probably the strongest I've seen for Daniel Bryan. And I don't know if there's any of this being as good. As far as my low point of the night, I didn't watch the Divas match, so it's probably going to be the Big Show, Jack Swagger, Zeb Coulter shit.
Mr. Shaw Walker, your high point, low point for tonight's show.
High point, Daniel Bryan. Thanks, fuck. And I got a low point, which is kind of a funny one. Okay. You know, during the Randy Orton attacking John Cena's dad, there was a woman screaming in the
God. It was so forced.
So bad.
What acting agency did they hire her from? Because they should never work with them again.
God damn.
Same one that happened with that Sheamus and Mark Henry match.
Give her that Brock Lesnar scream. I run for his money.
Oh, goodness. Sorry. Mr. Chris Jester, your high point, low point for tonight's show.
High point, Warrior in the Hall.
Okay. And your low point?
Sorry, technical difficulties again.
Oh, okay.
High point, Warrior in the Hall. I think that's the big deal. I think that it's about time. It's a good surprise. I mean, you hear rumors about it, but I didn't think that was, you know, something we were going to see. So I think that's the high point. Kofi upsetting Orton was another good, big thing. And Brian, you know, turning on Wyatt at the end. Those were also up there. So it's nice when you have three things you're trying to choose between for a high point. Low point, probably Cena and Sandow. I was pretty salty after that. I don't think it did anything for Sandow. So it kind of... I understand that Cena needed to win the match, first Raw of the year, going into a title match in a couple weeks, but I just thought it could have done a little more for Sandow. It really just did everything for Cena and nothing for
It could have
Sandow.
Been more competitive. And when you go back and watch that Money in the Bank match they had a couple months back... Sandow looked like $1 million coming out of that match.
Yeah, I didn't actually have a problem when he lost that match, even though he was like the only person to legitimately cash in on an injured person and still lose, because he looked good in that match. And instead of going in a positive direction after that, his career just like downward spiraled. And then that was supposedly the reasoning for this match tonight, that, oh, I haven't been able to sleep since I lost that match and blah, blah, blah. And then he just loses clean again. And it's like, okay, well, I guess you're going to keep losing sleep. Like, it did nothing for him. Drove me nuts. Definitely the low point.
Finally, Mr. Tony Mango, your high point, low point for tonight's show.
Low point, Rey Mysterio versus Alberto Del Rio. Two guys that I think are massively overrated and boring and bland. So you put them both in the ring together and blah. Honorable mention for the high point. The sign that Zeb Coulter had, sneakers are for feet, not for crossing our borders. another honorable mention for the high point, that kick from Roman Reigns. But my main high point, the Daniel Bryan situation and the whole end of the show. And kudos to the Usos, too.
It's almost a unanimous choice on that there. Well, not quite, because I'm actually going to be venturing off from that as well. My low point first, however... I got to give it to the Divas match, and I know it's always the easiest thing to just blame it on the Divas, but this one was particularly horrendous. At least it wasn't a Jingles Bells match. At least it wasn't a 7-on-7, but they got to do something for these girls. They either got to train the ones they have better, or they got to bring in some other ones that can go out there and not make me think they're going to hurt themselves with every single move they do. Because it's seriously at that point. It's not just at the point where I'm unhappy with the quality of the match I'm watching. I fear for these girls' safety every time they're in the ring. Like, for the last 2 years, every match, every time I see them, I'm afraid I'm going to see a neck broken. And I don't want to have to worry about that when I'm watching a match. And yeah, you can worry about that anytime. That could happen in any match, but anyway, that's why the Divas are there for me this week. And my high point, I'm going to be the only person to go ahead and say it, the New Age Outlaws tonight. I think after how they've hooked people with their last couple performances at the Slammies and Old School Raw last week, having them come in this week and finally cement themselves in something that's going to show that they're probably going to be around for a little while, I'm excited for that. And the way they did it, I didn't expect it. I mean, when they dropped down, I blurted out, whoa, really loudly. True, honest surprise. Such a rare thing to get in wrestling these days. So I'm going to go with that for my high point tonight. And with that, guys, I think that's a show. So we're going to start going around the last and final time and let everyone put out their closing words and anything that they want to promote to y'all. Mr. Stephen Juego, why don't you start us off?
Well, first off, it was a fun show tonight. I was surprised that Raw was going to be as good as it was, but I really enjoyed it, enjoyed being on the show tonight. Been having some success with Addicted to Anime's fan page on Facebook, so you can go ahead and type in facebook.com/addictedanimefans if you want to find out more information on Addicted to Anime's upcoming podcast. The next topic we're going to be talking about is Full Metal Alchemist and Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Every Tuesday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'll be over on the Dream Elite Radio doing Unanimous Decision MMA. Last show we did, we recapped 2013, and this show we're going to be basically getting into the next fight card that involves Luke Rockhold and Costa Philippou. So that's what's next on the agenda.
All right, Mr. Jester, why don't you take over? You got some information you want to throw out there?
Yeah, always check out fanboysanonymous.com, guys. That's where a lot of us write our good stuff. I have a Justice League article coming up tomorrow for about the new movie, spoilers and whatnot. Check that out. Also, I'm going to have a sports talk show on Friday nights. You guys should check that out when it comes around, a few weeks maybe. And that's it. Follow me on Twitter.
What's your Twitter?
That Jester Kid.
There you go.
THAT Jester Kid.
At That Jester Kid.
Yep.
Mr. Sean Walker.
I have nothing funny to say, so yeah, just follow me on the Twitter, SeanC2K37. I didn't see the funny Sibs cult assign, so I can't quote it today. I'm sorry, guys.
But remember, I can promise you Sean does give you funny tweets.
But remember, offense is the best defense.
Indeed. And Mr. Tony Mango.
All right, it's been mentioned multiple times today, but my wrestling website is www.smarkoutmoment.com, and my podcast for the website is Smack Talk, which you can find on iTunes, Stitcher, and youtube.com/smarkoutmoment. You can find my articles on Bleacher Report, and for everything else under A Mango Tree, just go ahead and look around on those websites, and you'll find a million different accounts on the internet.
All right. With that, guys, we're going to be closing this out for tonight. Fantastic show. Lots of great interaction. We thank everyone for getting involved. The fun doesn't stop here, though. Please join us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/RawPostShow. And now we are also officially on Twitter @RawPostShow. So you can continue talking to us, submitting questions, whatever you want to do, all throughout the week. And of course, join us live every Monday night following the conclusion of Raw here on Mega Powers Radio at megapowersradio.com. For any reason you can't make it to the live show, though, don't worry. We got you covered. You can catch the archive version of the show on many different places, including YouTube. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher. And, of course, you can find us on smarkoutmoment.com. Just look for the Raw Post Show section. It's officially there. We've got upgraded on the site thanks to Mr. Tony Mango. And you can find us super easily on there. I want to try to get some extra things inclusive for you guys to go there, some extra show notes. If you got any suggestions of things you might like to see, maybe we'll get, like, a webcam on everybody. Would everyone like that? Live webcams? No, you wouldn't. That'd be terrible. You don't want to see our faces, trust me. We don't even show our own faces on our Skype icons. I have Bob Saget.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think I'm rocking the Walter White still.
you are still rocking the Walter White, so we don't even want to show our faces to each other. But yeah, please check out all those other things, and of course every Monday night here on Mega Powers Radio. Lots of fun. I appreciate everyone listening, everyone calling in. Thank you to, let me see if I can remember them all, JD, Brian the Brain, Clinton Davis, and we may have had one other one, I'm not sure, but also we had lots of cool people, Slim RJS, what the heck is his name, I feel so stupid and embarrassing for not remembering your name, I don't know, the other guy submitted a question, James Baelish, there you are, James Baelish, I don't know why I just said that like Wade Bear, James Baelish. Baelish.
Bad news that you remembered his name, that's why.
Oh, goodness gracious. And of course, for everyone here on my team, Mr. Steven Huego, Chris Jester, Sean Walker, and Tony Mango. I'm Mike Payton. Thanks for listening to the NPR Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. We see y'all next week after Monday Night Raw.